This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar. Because a select few are addicted to the narcotic of power, like hopeless opium junkies, the new normal dictates that freedom must be relegated to the dustbin of history. But it isn't merely a temporary tyranny. These lunatics are driving humanity towards the endgame, implementation of the biometric ID enslavement plan, wargamed 11 years ago by the Rockefeller Foundation's Operation Lockstep, which has almost completely unfolded as it was written. The implementation of a full-blown biometric ID system won't merely address the fears and control of the COVID cult.
How much control of information should there be? And by whom? And how can false information be effectively challenged? And what if that false information is coming from companies or from governments?
We're at a moment where the social media platforms have to step forward and recognize the moment to assert that they're a technology platform and not a broadcaster is over. They, in fact, have to be a participant in broadcasting accurate information and partnering with the scientific and health communities to counterweight, if not flood the zone, of accurate information, because to put the genie back in the bottle of the misinformation and disinformation is nigh impossible.
One thing we haven't spoken about, and I'm wondering whether it's time to talk about this, is a step up from the part of the governments on enforcement actions against fake news.
This is an enormous task. The fingerprints and eye scans of every Indian in the country are being taken and collated into an online database. When complete, everyone will have a unique 12-digit identity number. It'll enable them to access India's vast and unwieldy welfare state.
It will enslave humanity in other levels of technocracy, including a functional MRI scanner at airports and public places to detect abnormal behavior and antisocial intent. A cheaper, lower bandwidth telepresence technology that serves those who are under permanent lockdown. Eventually, a China-style firewall will fracture the internet as it is driven by protectionism and national security concerns.
Biometric systems can recognize a person's specific physical attributes, their fingerprints, facial features, iris, or retina. The technology is already used around the world by the Somali army, Indian doctors, and for authenticating patients for important drugs, or for online banking on smartphones. There are even systems that look under your skin, so to speak, such as infrared scanners that are used in vein matching. Oxygen-poor blood in veins absorbs more infrared light than surrounding tissue so that vein patterns can be matched.
You know, I was a lab technician myself. I'm immunologist, and I have worked in the lab. And lab accidents happen. It's common.
It is vital that we determine without question that the coronavirus is absolutely a biological weapon released by the communist Chinese government, who appear at the center of Operation Lockstep as the totalitarian heroes they were made out to be in 2020, just as they were depicted by the Rockefeller Foundation 11 years earlier in Operation Lockstep. Our government has become powerless at wielding justice against the corruption, tightening its grip on the levers of control, that we openly live in a system that if an individual plans a murder, they are charged with premeditated murder in the first degree. But if globalist think tanks in league with the United Nations and the communist Chinese government literally print a document with the intent of the advancement of genocide and technocratic tyranny on a global scale that actually comes to pass, well then, it's just business as usual. John Bound reporting.
You're watching the American Journal with Harrison Smith. The Alex Jones Show. This is the War
been our number one bestseller over the years. Deep Earth Crystal Iodine, the good halogen. It is essential for all actions in the body. You must have it to live. The UN estimates 2 billion plus people have cognitive disabilities because they don't have enough iodine. We have X2 in two different bottles, same amount in each bottle, but one has a spray top, one has a dropper top. 60% off on the spray top, 40% off on the dropper top for a limited time because they're both selling out. I want to thank all of the supporters that have gotten these over the years. They're amazing, so that's a great deal for you to stock up on it. But this deal is really for folks that have been on the fence and haven't experienced the good halogen for yourself. So, X2, the dropper bottle and the spray bottle, 60 and 40% off for a limited time because it's selling out right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're going to keep the sale going until it sells out. It'll probably take about 2 weeks. Don't procrastinate. Take advantage of this special right now at InfoWarsStore.com and check out the new products we just got in as well.
Live from London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
We're live, it is the Summit News Hour, and I'm going to cover a news story that just broke about an hour ago, probably in the next segment, where the top health official in Australia is now literally telling people in Australia that they can't have conversations with each other because they found one new COVID case in that area of Australia in New South Wales. But I'm going to get into that later because, of course, we celebrated Freedom Day here in London, here in the UK yesterday, when all coronavirus restrictions were supposed to be lifted. The Freedom Day protesters, the actual freedom protesters, went out onto the streets once again and they celebrated their freedom. They were able to respect, embrace, embody and communicate their freedom by having seven shades of hell beaten out of them by the police because we're so free. Of course, we have a situation now whereby even though these restrictions have been lifted, I would say from personal experience, just from walking around today, despite the fact that there's no law that says you have to wear a mask in a shop, in most other places, I think only airports are the ones who actually can legally enforce it, but maybe not even then. 80% of people are still wearing the masks. We had the hottest day so far this year in the UK yesterday. Today is almost as hot. People still wearing masks outside. People literally sat down outside with no one else around them, eating their lunch and then putting the mask back on in between bites. People queuing up, again, with no one around them, two or three people in a queue, to eat at an outdoor restaurant, wearing their masks from the point where you meet the person at the front desk of the restaurant to where you sit down 10 yards away, outside the entire time, but wearing their masks when they stand there to book their table. Why is everyone so petrified? Why is everyone so brainwashed? Why does this have a lasting effect? Well, it's not just a cliche. It was a deliberate military psyops operation. We have the documents on it. They've all come out. Of course, the vast majority of the British population don't know this. But we know why they're so cowed, why they're so jellyfish-like in their complete subservience and total compliance to these mandates, which even though the government says they now don't have to comply with in a number of cases, they're doing so of their own accord because they've been so terrified, because they were given a completely false picture of the lethality of this virus from the very beginning. There's a book called A State of Fear by Laura Dodsworth, which has made waves here in the UK. And she got the documents proving that at the start of the pandemic, the government made a conscious decision to shift from handling the outbreak of this pandemic via the textbook basis of how they would handle all historical pandemics before it, which is to protect the vulnerable and then allow everyone else to go about their lives in order to achieve herd immunity. That was how we dealt with every other major pandemic in the past. But they made a rapid decision to do a U-turn on that in the early days of the pandemic, right before the lockdown was announced here in the United Kingdom towards the end of March 2020, when they literally allowed behavioral scientists, not virologists, not medical scientists, behavioral scientists, GCHQ, and the British military to take over the task of informing the population of how they should respond to the pandemic. And of course, by informing, they literally mean brainwashing and mind control. Totalitarian, unethical methods of brainwashing and mind control, which they themselves admitted to Laura Dodsworth, the author who published this book. This was the Scientific Pandemic Influenza Group on Behaviors. Again, behavioral scientists weaponizing their trade to kowtow people into being terrified of the virus. And they did so because they thought that many people, quote, still do not feel sufficiently personally threatened, and that the perceived level of personal threat needs to be increased, because that's the only way they thought people would comply with any of these mandates whatsoever. Which was completely wrong, by the way, because most people were complying with the social distancing and the hand washing for weeks and maybe even more than a month before the lockdown was brought into legal force. So we had the behavioral scientists on the SAGE committee, who again aren't medical scientists, telling the government that they need to use totalitarian, unethical propaganda brainwashing methods, lie to the public in order to make them terrified, to make them more compliant. That's exactly what happened. She also writes, and this is covered in the article out of the Telegraph, Life Inside the Fear Factory, Government Keeps Us on High Alert. She also writes about the RICU, which is the Home Office, the British government's Research, Information and Communications Unit, which attempts to covertly engineer the thoughts of people by providing to support to bodies seen by the public as grassroots organizations. So it's about all these committees that aren't actually officially government bodies. They're just liaising with the government, and then they've got their fingers in the pie of all these other influencers, cultural groups, celebrities and people like that, who they yet then use to propagandize the public even more. She also writes of another group, the Rapid Response Unit, based in Number 10 Downing Street, and the Counter Disinformation Cell, attached to the Department for Digital, Culture, Media and Sport. Again, it's attached, it's not explicitly government, which means they can get away with doing more things, but they're basically telling the government what to do. Both of which monitor social media and tackle fake news, including Dodsworth claims YouTube videos by doctors who contradict WHO guidance on COVID, despite the fact that the WHO itself, in its own advice, contradicted itself on COVID innumerable times. They said there was no human-to-human transmission of COVID on January 14th because the communist Chinese government told them, and we can trust them, right? So again, it's all these subgroups that aren't even government entities, slimy, shadowy groups that have basically seized control of the government, and you know that because of what came out yesterday from what the Prime Minister Boris Johnson was saying at the start of this lockdown, which was that, quote, this was October that this came out, of course he said it back in March, but then it's just been released today publicly, or yesterday. He says, I must say, remember, this is Boris Johnson at the start of the pandemic, before lockdown. I must say I've been slightly rocked by some of the data on COVID fatalities. The median age of death is 82, 81 for men, 85 for women. That's above life expectancy, so get COVID and live longer. This is what Dominic Cummings, who was in Number 10 Downing Street, says Boris Johnson said about the pandemic at its origin. He said, hardly anyone under 60 goes into hospital, 4%, and all of those virtually all survive. And I no longer buy all this NHS overwhelmed stuff. I think we may need to recalibrate. That's Boris Johnson admitting that the lockdown strategy was a complete failure because the average age of death was 82 and above. And when somebody did a Freedom of Information Act request to the UK government, they asked them the question, how many of these deaths in the official COVID death toll figure are the UK are from COVID alone, with no comorbidities? And they got an answer, and it's still on the government official website, Office of National Statistics. I'm looking at it right now. The UK government admits 8.9% of the COVID death toll died solely of COVID with no other comorbidities. So the official true death toll figure is less than one-tenth of what they're telling the public it is. So is there any surprise that people are still so terrified, they're still wearing masks, even though they're not legally obliged to? Is there any surprise that we had a poll last year, last summer indeed, which found that the average Brit thought coronavirus was 100 times more deadly than it actually is. They thought 6 to 7% of the population, this was a year ago, had died of COVID-19. Again, it was not only 100 times less, it was one-tenth the official figure they told us was actually those who had died of COVID without any comorbidities. That's why people are still wearing masks. That's why they're still walking around with terrified looks on their faces. And that's why they support vaccine passports, which are now going to expand into every area of society as we increasingingly devolve into a communist Chinese-style social credit score, biosecurity, police state. And that's what I'm going to get into on the other side. They're now saying people who attend football matches, people who want to go to nightclubs, people who want to go to crowded venues, it just keeps expanding further and further. This is Summit News. We'll be back after the break. Don't go away.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. teamgaday.com.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.News studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
So in her book, A State of Fear, Laura Dodsworth documents how there are behavioral insight teams operating within at least 10 government departments. Again, these aren't official government bodies, they're quasi-government, quasi-private bodies, who are tasked with manipulating and propagandizing the British public. We also literally have the UK Army, the British Army, which is only supposed to focus propaganda campaigns to foreign adversaries, being turned inwards on the UK population at the start of this pandemic. Again, this is out of the article Inside the Fear Factory out of the Telegraph. She says, some people believe, and oh, you can believe it if you've seen the thread responses on Twitter where it's the announcement of a new lockdown policy, then below it, word for word, different bot accounts copying the same copy-paste thing where it says, oh, this isn't enough lockdown, we need more strict lockdowns, we need it for another year. Exactly the same text to flood the comments, to flood these Twitter threads. It's bots doing it. China's done that for over a decade. They literally hire millions of people to manipulate public opinion and to create fake consensus on social media by amplifying Chinese government propaganda narratives. And now, because apparently China's great and we're aping and mimicking everything they do because authoritarian tyranny is so cool now, we get that done to us. And it was the British military and these other behavioral insight groups who have infested our government that literally took that fake Chinese propaganda of the video footage of people convulsing and collapsing on the street before the lockdowns in the West were implemented, again, to terrify the public into going along with it, despite the fact we know they were completely faked. Convulsing and collapsing and falling down on the street has never been a symptom of COVID. It wasn't then, it isn't now. It was completely faked. It was a complete hoax, amplified by the media, amplified by the likes of this 77th Brigade, which is literally the British military propagandizing its own people when it's supposed to be focusing its direction out to foreign adversaries. So she says some people believe they've been targeted by the 77th Brigade, part of the 6th Division of the Army, which according to the Ministry of Defense uses, quote, legitimate non-military leaders as a means to adapt behaviors of the opposing forces and adversaries. When she inquired about the activities of some of these bodies, she says, I hit a brick wall, and I find that when someone puts up a brick wall, it's because that's where the real story lies. Now, another one of these behavioral insight weaponization of propaganda techniques was centered around the wearing of masks. As we know, at the start of the pandemic, the WHO, every major public health body in developed countries, said masks, non-surgical masks, which is the one that everyone's wearing still, don't do anything to stop COVID. We've had the best part of a year in the United Kingdom wearing these masks by law. The case numbers kept going up. Same thing in Spain. I was in Spain last summer, right after they mandated masks everywhere. Literally in 40-degree heat outside, having to wear a mask. And the police in Spain aren't like the Benny Hill bobbies that we have here in the UK. They're big, butch, tough guys, and they will literally pin you down and handcuff you. We've seen that on many occasions, literally people being beaten up for not wearing masks. Again, it was all complete baloney propaganda. Anthony Fauci, in his own emails right back at the start of the pandemic in February, said the masks are completely useless. Now we have another government advisor, one who actually speaks some sense, going public yesterday, and the headline is, government advisor admits masks are just comfort blankets that do virtually nothing. Making the point, and this is Dr. Colin Axon, a sage advisor for the government, one who actually wants to get back to normal and not implement these mandates forever, as the hardline communist Susan Michie has said over and over again. He told the London Telegraph that medics have given people a cartoonish view of how microscopic viruses travel through the air and the masks have gaps in them that are up to 5,000 times bigger than COVID particles. The particle is 5,000 times smaller than the holes in the fabric of that mask. They go straight through. This is why it's completely cartoonish, pantomime nonsense that people wear a mask for the 5-foot walk to their dinner table. They've been doing that for the past, 7 months here in the UK at least. Complete pantomime act. He made the analogy. He said the small sizes are not easily understood, but an imperfect analogy would be to imagine marbles fired at a builder's scaffolding. Some might hit a pole and rebound, but obviously most will fly through. And these are the great protective devices that we've all been mandated to wear. These have been used to create yet more division, turmoil, confrontations in society. Completely useless. Fauci knew it from the start. All these behavioral insight manipulators knew it from the start. But the decision was made right when they introduced all these mask mandates after previously saying there was no point because they don't do anything. This isn't about a medical response that's going to stop the spread of the transmission of the virus. This is about enforcing compliance via coercion. And they literally said that in the same documents that I talked about previously in regard to the UK and these behavioral insight teams. Goes on to say, noting the mask debate is about the particle journey, Axon explained that masks can catch droplets and sputum from a cough, which is why people in hospitals wear them when they're doing medical procedures, but they're wearing different masks entirely. But what's important is that SARS-CoV-2 is predominantly distributed by tiny aerosols. So a COVID viral particle is around 100 nanometers. Material gaps in blue surgical masks, which is what most people wear, are up to 1,000 times that size. Cloth mask gaps can be 500,000 times the size. So the holes in the masks of what a great majority of people walking around wearing, thinking they're protecting themselves and others and being a good person. You idiot, the holes in that stupid face nappy that you're wearing are 500,000 times bigger than the virus particle. It's all pantomime. It's all nonsense. As Fauci admitted in his own emails, the professor noted that those aerosols escape masks and will render the mask ineffective. And yet still, what do we have today? Zero Hedge reports, is this why a child doctors group suddenly demanded all kids over 2 wear masks at school, even though they're going to vaccinate them? So in case you wondered why the American Academy of Pediatricians would overrule the CDC's science, consider this. The American Academy of Pediatrics wants all kids masked until vaccinated. Let's go to their website and see who the biggest donor is. Oh, look, it's Pfizer. Well, imagine my shock. So they're demanding kids over the age of 2 years old wear the masks, despite knowing that the masks are completely useless. The virus particle is, in the case of the cloth masks, 500,000 times smaller than the fabric, the hole in the fabric in the mask. It was never intended to stop the spread of COVID. The one peer-reviewed study, the one contemporary peer-reviewed study into the efficacy of masks was the Danmask trial study in Denmark. They took 6,000 participants. They found that those who wore the mask and those didn't, there was no statistical difference between those who got infected with COVID and those who didn't based on wearing a mask. And there's no study that exists that proves masks work to any great degree. It was an exercise in coercing compliance because they knew if they could get away with that, then they can get away with the next stage, which is vaccine passports, which I'll talk about in the next segment. Don't go away.
Jacob in Ohio, welcome, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Alex? Great last caller. I just wanted to start with plugging your sleep supplements. It's basically the only way I get sleep anymore with all the gaslighting, demoralization, and absurdity. It's like we're living at a twilight zone, man.
All right, Eric in New Hampshire. Eric, thanks for calling, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, thanks for taking my call. If I could, I just want to throw a quick plug out for one of the products. The X2 does wonders. I recommend it to everybody. If you're on the fence about it, get off the fence, get the product, support the InfoWars.
Tyler in Maine. You're on the air. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. It's great to be on with you. It's an honor.
Honor to talk to you.
Awesome. So first thing I wanted to do is say I love the products. Alpha Power, even at 29, if you ask my better half, she loves it, and it helps in the bedroom. So just number one for viewers.
Well, it definitely works. It's not a joke.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
You're listening to the Summit.News Radio Hour with Paul Joseph Watson.
So Australia, from the very beginning, was one of the most authoritarian, draconian countries in the developed world when it came to enforcing these lockdowns. In fact, I remember writing stories in the early months of the pandemic where they would announce the lockdown on the news and then literally have police and security guards standing outside apartment blocks to prevent people from leaving their own apartments. We had an article and a video from Australia where a woman was arrested for the crime, the egregious crime of organizing an anti... In fact, I don't even think she organized it. I think she just promoted it on Facebook. Pregnant woman, the police in Australia showed up to a house, burst into a house and arrested her in front of her husband and her kids. They passed laws in Australia which gave the government permission to seize, remove children from the custody of their parents to ensure compliance with coronavirus rules. They used surveillance drones to catch people who weren't wearing masks outside and to keep track of cars that travel further than 5 kilometers from home. They gave themselves the power to enter people's homes without a warrant and perform spot checks. We showcased another video there. You see the pregnant woman being arrested. It's always interesting, by the way. I go back and I remember writing these articles, this one from September last year, so it's about 10 months old. Always go back to these articles and notice that the videos that were originally there have all been deleted on Twitter. Well, what a surprise. Either because they've made them delete the tweet or they've just suspended the account. So, I mean, you can see the screenshot. You can't watch the actual videos in many cases because they get deleted. The point is, though, Australia was the most draconian, most authoritarian country in the developed world to enforce these lockdowns. And they're going for this disastrous, crazy, insane policy of trying to achieve zero COVID, the same as New Zealand, because they've got it better in terms of being able to close their borders. But they think that by doing this, they can just eliminate the virus altogether. So whenever you get a single case of it, a single case, they all freak out and they put everyone under lockdown again. Everyone in an entire city under lockdown because of one case. In fact, we highlighted it last month. Alice Springs, a town in Australia, 800 miles away from the nearest city, went into full lockdown after just a single new case of COVID was detected. One case. The city's 800 miles away from any nearest other city, and the entire city goes under lockdown. Well, now it's gotten even worse for Australians, and this is really a new level of inhumanity, because the top health official in New South Wales, and we've got the clip which will roll here in a second, now says that Australians shouldn't be having conversations with each other. They're not just preventing them from meeting in bars, restaurants, theatres, cinemas, etc. They're now literally telling people they can't talk to each other. This is the government in Australia. Chief Health Officer of New South Wales. They all look the same, by the way. This woman looks exactly the same as that communist hardliner, Susan Michie. They all look like middle-aged Karen women with their masks on. Well, she gave a press conference telling Australians they shouldn't engage in conversation with each other, even if they're wearing the sainted masks. And we have the clip. Here it is.
Whilst it is in human nature to engage in conversation with others, to be friendly, unfortunately, this is not the time to do that. So even if you run into your next door neighbour in the shopping centre, in the Coles, whilst you're at Coles or Woolworths or Aldi or any other grocery shop, don't start up a conversation. Now is the time for minimising your interactions with others. Even if you've got a mask, do not think that affords total protection. We want to be absolutely sure that as we go about our daily lives, we do not come into contact with anyone else that would pose a risk.
So they've put everyone under a 7-day stay-at-home order. They've made masks compulsory again in schools. Teachers, students, kids have all got to wear them. And now they're literally giving press conferences telling Australians not to have conversations with each other in the grocery store. She talks about conversations being part of human nature. The government telling you you can't have a conversation with your friends or your neighbours, that's inhumane. That's completely inhumane. We thought we couldn't scale any more, plumb any more depths in this lockdown fiasco, but we've managed it today in Australia. And where's the backlash? I mean, when I think of Australians, I think of, you know, Crocodile Dundee. I thought they were supposed to be big, tough guys. Where are the protests? Where's the resistance? There's more resistance in London. There's more resistance in Greece. There's even more resistance in France. What are Australians doing? I thought they were tough. They're just accepting it. They're literally accepting being told by some bureaucrat they can't talk to their friend. That's insane. And somebody commented, in fact, it was the English pop group Right Said Fred, who were big lockdown sceptics and campaigners against lockdown. Very interesting comment. They said, quote, "The desperation is front and centre. They're either running out of time or they're going insane right in front of our eyes." And I think that sums it up perfectly. Meanwhile, in the UK, on the day that Freedom Day was supposed to be happening, we, of course, had the announcement that we would have to present vaccine passports to go about basic social activities. We've seen this in Greece. We've seen it in France, as I mentioned before. In France, of course, they had to backtrack somewhat. Now they're saying that they're graciously affording the citizenry in France the right to enter a supermarket without having been vaccinated. Yes, for the moment, they will let you eat. And we see a similar situation developing in the UK. The direction of travel is going from nightclubs, crowded venues. Now they're saying maybe pubs. Now they're saying almost for sure football matches. Unvaccinated football fans to be banned from matches in the UK, creating a two-tier society of the jabbed and the jabbed not. It's being reported that football clubs are likely to be told only supporters who can prove they've had the jab will be allowed to enter stadiums after the season starts later this summer. Daily Mail reports plans being drawn up that will require football fans to prove they've had two doses of COVID vaccination before they can attend matches from the end of September. Says if the measures, this is key, because they put a proviso in thinking that it's going to put people back to sleep. Says if the measure is introduced, government would be expected to fall back on the previous definition of large crowds, a definition which they can change at any moment because they've moved the goalpost on everything else. Set out in step three of the roadmap out of lockdown, which was a capacity of 16,000 spectators. However, the legal requirement on football fans to be vaccinated before they can attend games, a negative COVID test would not be enough. Oh yeah, they've introduced that, by the way. See, in France, what they were doing is obtaining free COVID tests from the government, and you shouldn't even have to put yourself through that, but they were using those free COVID tests to avoid having to get the vaccine. France banned that. They got rid of that. They say, now you need your own COVID test. Now the UK has gone one step further and said you're not even allowed to prove you don't have COVID, you have to take the vaccine, despite the fact that there's a ton of people in hospital who took both jabs of the COVID vaccine and then got COVID because the vaccine works so well. But it says these rules will only come into force if coronavirus infection rates, deaths and hospitalizations are high, or there are dangerous variants circulating. And of course, what the government calls dangerous variants, or scariants, as other people call them, will be circulating for years, making that qualification rather redundant. Now, this is all being introduced despite the fact that the government's own events research program, where they had all these nightclub events, outdoor sporting events, to test whether coronavirus was very transmissible during these events, they found, quote, that revealed few infections linked to outdoor sports events. So the government's own test pilot program found that this wasn't a super spreader event in any case. Wimbledon Tennis Championships was one. Some of the Euro 2020 games were other pilot test events. They found that they didn't spread the virus, and yet they're still introducing the vaccine passports anyway. Why are they doing that? We'll get into that and more on the other side of the break. Summit.news. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me, and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it.
Immediately, I felt better, and it lowered my blood pressure, and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Summit News with Paul Joseph Watson.
So after months and months of claiming that they never had any plans to introduce a vaccine passport and having conducted their own study and admitted that it would be discriminatory to do so, the government yesterday announced that they would be introducing vaccine passports. The unvaccinated would be banned from football matches, nightclubs and other crowded events, maybe even pubs in the future. Might present a problem to them given that this country has at least 1 million illegal immigrants, the vast majority of whom are not going to get vaccines or vaccine passports. That's another spanner in the works that they may encounter at a later date. But we also have this headline. Report: vaccine passports now may be demanded for office workers. Oh, but it's not mandatory. You just can't get a job without it. But it's not mandatory. The British government has suggested that not only should so-called vaccine passports be used by clubs, pubs and restaurants, but also that office workers should be subject to the system in order to return to their jobs. London Telegraph reports Department for Health and Social Care has indicated that the pass system should be adopted in everyday workplaces. But again, it's not mandatory. You just can't feed your family without getting it. Good news here, though. Nightclub owners say they'll refuse to enforce vaccine passports as a condition of entry. This was as yet another UK government minister refused to rule out vaccine passports for pubs. But nightclub owners say the plan to impose the same rules on their venues is shambolic, with some vowing to refuse to enforce it. Michael Kill, chief executive of the Nighttime Industries Association, said, quote, "The announcement from the Prime Minister that COVID passports will be made mandatory for nightclubs in September comes after his health secretary said only 1 week ago that they would not be compulsory. What an absolute shambles."
Says, leaving aside the fact that this is yet another chaotic U-turn that will leave nightclubs who have been planning for reopening for months will now have to make more changes to the way they operate, this is still a bad idea. Oh yeah, it's also completely unenforceable and impractical. Have you seen British nightclubs? Have you been to Newcastle or Manchester on a Saturday night and been trying to get into a nightclub? Yeah, it's a bit of a free-for-all, so good luck enforcing that. But Peter Marks, chief executive of nightclub operator Recom UK, went further, saying his nightclubs won't be requiring people to be double-jabbed or they won't have anyone in. He said, younger guests are 95% of our customers. They won't be fully vaccinated by September. We won't be requiring them, otherwise we won't have anyone in. That's the point. These nightclubs have profit margins of about 15%. If they lose 15% of their customers, they're going out of business. 35% of 18 to 30 year olds in the UK haven't been vaccinated, so they're going to go out of business. Of course, the argument could be made that the government is merely making these threats to coerce young people into being vaccinated, which is what happened in Israel. And then when they introduced the vaccine passports to get into all these venues in Israel, it was never enforced. It was a complete joke. Oh, but then they had another variant, and maybe they do have to start enforcing it. But it's good to see that nightclub operators are saying they're just going to disobey completely and refuse, although, you know, we've heard that before, and they didn't. Andrew Lloyd Webber said he'd be arrested if he opened his theatre. He never followed through on that promise, so that remains to be seen. I believe it when I see it. Meanwhile, local family restaurant becomes latest victim of lockdown as rich get richer. This was a restaurant I used to go to about 15 years ago when I used to live up in Sheffield called Julio's. The only restaurant in the entire village, and now it's closed down as a result of COVID-19, as they announced on their Facebook page. Given that Julio's is the only restaurant in the area, aside from pubs, which are also struggling, its loss is sure to be keenly felt by the local community, given that it had been a much-loved gathering place for almost 20 years. And this is just one story. This has happened. 10% of restaurants in the UK have closed down permanently. And in fact, it's more than that, because they're including the numbers of the ones that have opened. So it's probably more like 15% at least of restaurants in the UK have closed. Not as a result of the pandemic, because Sweden kept its restaurants open, didn't it? And didn't have as high a death toll as the UK. It's because of the lockdown. Casual dining venues fell by 19.4%. Another report found that almost 10,000 licensed premises in the UK, including pubs, clubs and restaurants, had closed during 2020. Meanwhile, the combined wealth of the world's 10 richest men rose by $540 billion. Jeff Bezos of Amazon is doing just fine. He sent himself into space today with some of the $86 billion that he made as a result of Amazon shares soaring, because, of course, most of their smaller competition went out of business. Everyone was stuck at home. They couldn't go into shops. They had to order from Amazon. The rich got richer. Billionaires exploited the impact of lockdown to create a rigged economy, according to Oxfam, causing expanding wealth inequality during the worst economic downturn in a century. There was a record number of billionaires created in the UK, even as small businesses went under. And lockdown saw 150 million people globally pushed into extreme poverty. You'd think the left would care about that, wouldn't you? They don't give a damn. They want more lockdown. Let's shift gears now and go into this quick Nigel Farage video, because today we had 430 illegal immigrants land on the southern English coast. This is out of Breitbart, another record day in the English Channel. There's 430 illegals brought ashore on Monday. Says the boat migrant crisis in the English Channel set yet another daily record, with the British Border Force taking over 430 illegal aliens ashore after they set sail from France. Of course, they get taxi service, they get free food, they get put up in four-star hotels, but we can't travel. Here is Nigel Farage talking about this issue. Let's go to the clip.
Very, very few of these people would ever qualify as refugees. And if it's so awful where they've come from, why on earth have they deserted the women and children there. As you can tell, I take a very, very firm line on this. I think we're being humiliated on the world stage. I really, honestly do. Priti Patel has made a series of strong statements. They began back in the August of 2019. She keeps telling us what she's going to do, and nothing has changed. The problem is getting worse. Four-star hotels have been filled up all over the country. There are over 60,000 people who have either failed their asylum claims or are waiting to be processed. But even if and when, in most cases, they fail, they will still remain in this country. It is coming at a massive cost to us, massive financial cost to us. I would suggest quite a big security risk, as we just don't know who most of these young men are. Very few of them have ID papers. It's a trick. Get rid of your passport and then you can't actually be returned anywhere. And I'm going to follow this because, as I say, I think in the space of the next few weeks, this will become the biggest non-COVID story in this country. I think the numbers that are coming are about to explode.
So during this supposedly deadly pandemic, we've got hundreds of migrants arriving every day. We've got them being given escorts, taxi services by the British government, given free food, free money, put up in free hotels at taxpayer expense. Meanwhile, if I want to come back from France or if I want to come back from Spain after visiting my parents, which I basically can't do, haven't seen them since last year, I have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Maybe I should just get on a dinghy. If I want to go to France and come back that way, and then I'll be treated like absolute royalty. And then, of course, you have the security issue. We saw the video of these migrants arriving, just screaming, running off into the town in different directions. Half of them weren't even processed. God knows who they are. Gaddafi warned that ISIS would exploit this refugee wave to commit atrocities. That's precisely what happened. Happened in the case of the Paris massacre, where the majority of the terrorists exploited this wave. They claimed to be refugees. They were let into the country. Our own government rescued the Manchester Arena bomber as a refugee. You've had a spate of beheadings in France from where these migrants are coming from over the past 2 years of terrorists who again entered the country on a refugee wave, and now some of them are all coming here. But I can't go to Spain to see my own parents. Meanwhile, back in jolly old England, Sadiq Khan says new statue of activist who beheaded white colonisers in front of their children reflects London's achievements in diversity. This is a statue of John Chilwembe, an anti-colonial activist, awarded the decapitation of William Livingstone, a very nice fella, in front of his children, and then displayed his head on a pike, saying, this is according to Sadiq Khan, that putting up a statue of this individual reflects London's achievements and diversity. So basically, celebrating white European farmers who went over to Malawi in the early 1900s, the people who decapitated them in front of their children and then put their heads on spikes during a church service afterwards, those are the people who we need to now celebrate. That's going to wrap it up, though. Again, massive protests in London yesterday. There's another protest on Saturday. It looks like it's going to be the biggest ever anti-lockdown protest. I'll be there, and I encourage everyone else in London, in the UK, to be there as well. That's going to wrap it up, though, for the Summit.News Hour. Coming up next, War Room with Owen Schroyer. Keep it locked in.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.